Have you ever traveled somewhere that you could feel you weren't welcome? What would you do if you continually saw the same spirits but weren't allowed to communicate with them? Has someone you cared about inadvertently brought darkness into your life? Today, we test the believability of the suffocating shadow man.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual.
And tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. It's Tuesday. I need to pull this down, this mic. Like, I'm not sitting as erect as I probably should.
I was listening to our episode yesterday, and I had it on 1 1/4 speed. I was like, why are we talking so fast?
I can't do that.
I didn't do it on purpose.
There's people that listen to podcasts
at like 2 times fast, speed.
Just so they can get more in. And yeah, I'm like that's oof. That's like, come on.
Are you enjoying yourself though?
Is it even worth it?
But 1/2 speed sounds so silly.
I always tell myself when people fly past me on the highway, I'm always like, I feel bad for them because they must not have good music. Sometimes, have you ever drawn out a drive to get a little bit more of your song in?
No.
Oh. Anyway. Hope everyone had a great week. Did a little bit of camping, saw some stars, not as many as I would have seen if I didn't book when it was like almost a full moon.
Well, I also went to Pennsylvania.
That's true. We were both in Pennsylvania at the same time.
Some Yinzers, right? They're called Yinzers?
Yinzers, yeah. Yins.
Yins.
Yeah.
And that one gas station, I don't forget what it's called. The Wawa.
Wawa.
I did not go there.
Also, if you follow us on Instagram, you saw I did not hit my 8% body weight challenge. Neither did producer Ben. So we had to do 120 burpees.
It was like 100 degrees outside.
It was.
I felt bad for you guys.
But with that said, I'm excited. We got two stories today. One, I'm going to read verbatim. It's a short listener submission story that's creepy. So I'm going to read that one. And then we have the main episode, which is the suffocating shadow man. Are you ready to dive into these tales?
Wish I could dive into a pool.
Okay, so this first story comes to us from Veronica. It takes place in Texas between the years of 2012 and 2013. And by that, I don't mean it lasted a year. She just doesn't know if it was 2012 or 2013.
Ah, okay. So somewhere.
It's like 10 years ago now, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. We went to New York City 2013.
Oh, yeah. It's a great time.
Yep. Next year, it'll be 10 years ago. Remember that? Back. Was it a turkey? It was a turkey.
It was a wild turkey.
Wild turkey by the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, Statue of Liberty.
All right, you ready? Mm-hmm. This one I'm going to read. It's a momentary creepy experience.
Just a moment. Okay.
I wonder how you say this. Arroyo? Arroyo?
I don't know what you're trying to say.
Hold on. All right, we're going to say Arroyo City. All right.
We are looking to pronounce in English.
Arroyo. That's what the video said on YouTube. So Arroyo City, Texas, apparently is known for fishing and renting homes for weekend getaways, which is actually perfect because that video that we were listening to was somebody fishing.
That makes sense. That sounds lovely. That sounds very nice.
It's like a little getaway. So you're playing Alan Wake. You're getting that. I just went camping in the wilderness of Pennsylvania. I mean, I'm getting the mountain
cabin vibes.
I like it. I like that stuff.
Mountains?
Yeah. We should rent a cabin sometime do an episode out late at night in the woods in a cabin.
We should do that. And then like the girls can stay in their cabins and
by the toasty indoor fire.
Yeah.
And we'll be by the less toasty.
We'll do it in a hot pool. We'll do it in a hot pool.
In a hot tub.
Hot tub.
One of the pools, but they're hot. The hot ones.
A hot pool.
The hot whirly pool. Anyway, back to Veronica's story. Quote, one weekend my ex, some coworkers and I went out there. We rented a home along the banks of Arroyo so we could fish, explore, barbecue, and drink. Typical South Texas sort of things. We happened to stay in an area that also included access to large open land that we could use ATVs and explore. Also included a gazebo and some fishing docks. The day we arrived, we dumped our belongings in the house and quickly got to catching bait so we could fish later that evening. The sun was blazing as we fished and we explored the land. If you've ever experienced South Texas heat, then you understand that you need to stay hydrated every minute because it could easily reach up to 110 degrees.
I have not experienced South Texas heat.
I was in Fort Worth, but I don't know where that's at.
Is that South?
It's near Dallas. Is that Central?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
South Texas is hot.
Hot, spicy. As the day continued and the sun began to set, we started to gather enough bait for the night, called it quits, and everyone went back to the home to rest up for some barbecuing, drinking, and more fishing later that night. I told my ex I wanted to shower and maybe take a nap because the heat really got to me and I was starting to experience a migraine. So as I'm showering, I begin to hear drumming. At this point, I'm alone in the house because everyone was on the docks prepping for the barbecue. The drumming began to sound a little closer and almost kind of like a Native American style of drumming. And then I got this feeling like somebody was watching me. I called out for my ex, but there was no answer. I quickly finished up my shower and headed to bed for my nap. As I was laying there, I couldn't shake the feeling that I wasn't alone in that room. And then I was overcome by the most terrifying fear. I'm absolutely paralyzed. I begin to hear the drumming very faintly again, and then my breathing starts to fasten. My eyes closed the entire time, but it was almost like I could see everything around me. I started to hear whispering coming from the room, and as much as I wanted to look away, I couldn't move a muscle. Then, still with my eyes closed, the flash of this image of this Native American chief came into my head. I could see the headpiece, and it looked like his arms were crossed. This image was kind of more of a silhouette or a shadow figure of a Native American, but for some reason, I was able to make out 100% that is exactly what it was. He was standing at the head of my bed, but I couldn't move a muscle. It started to feel evil. It wasn't inviting at all. Again, I'm frozen, and I start to feel this pressure in my chest. I try to tell myself, run, just get up and run. After finding the courage to get up, I manage to open my eyes, and I see this blue, almost smoky light, this apparition at the head of my bed, where I was seeing this guy the entire time. I threw off my blanket, and I ran to the door. And because I was in such a panic, I couldn't get the damn doorknob to turn. At the same time, I'm staring out the window. I'm looking at my friends having a good time barbecuing. Meanwhile, I'm dealing with this evil spirit that who knows what it's trying to do. I finally get the damn doorknob to turn, and I run as fast as I could to my friends. I found my ex, and at this point, I'm crying hysterically, panicked, out of breath, out of my mind. I look back at how far I ran, and I literally was about 20 steps. But those 20 steps were the longest I've ever experienced. The next morning, everyone was already at the gazebo having breakfast, and I just happened to join a little bit later. When I sat down and I joined them, my ex looks over to the owner of the house and says, "Hey, tell her what you just told me." The owner begins to tell me that she didn't want to scare us the day that we arrived, so she didn't mention it, but the experience I had, you know, she thought it was better to tell us what she knew. She began to say that this land was Native American at one point, and when they began to turn Arroyo City into what it is now, after all the ground leveling and the rearranging of the land, they started to find old artifacts and some other things that were buried in certain areas of the land. She said that people experienced an entity in different parts of this area. She asked me to describe what I saw, and when I told her, she said others have seen it. Without even mentioning the drumming, she asked me if at any point I heard very light, very faint drumming. It was one of the most terrifying moments I've ever experienced. I haven't gone back since, and it just doesn't sit right with me. Unquote. So that is Veronica's listener submission and her story.
It's spooky, but it's not the spookiest ever tied with like to sleep paralysis.
Yeah,
I could see why it'd be terrifying, though.
It's weird where it's like, it's not a simple encounter where you're awake,
right,
conscious, and you see something. Because you can almost argue that she made it up because her eyes were closed the whole time. Like, it was like this vision,
yeah,
was put onto her.
Mm-hmm. But it also matches other encounters, which is it gives credibility, doesn't it?
Right, yeah. As long as you take it at face value, then yeah. It's weird, though. Like, so she sees this when she's laying down, and then she opens her eyes, and it's like this light blue mist.
I don't know what that could be. Maybe it's just like a spiritual kind of presence. Like, that's how it can present in the aura plane.
Yeah.
But it's able to present itself in, like, with her eyes shut, like, in, like, the almost spiritual plane.
Yeah. It almost felt like a lasting impression to me. Like, when you stare at something really bright, close your eyes and you can still see it.
Yeah.
That was kind of what I was picturing. But the drumming would be really creepy, too. Like, it's not just something that attacked her visual senses, like, yeah. The auditory, too.
But it's not also doing anything or saying anything. It's just kind of there.
If she didn't hear the drumming in the shower, I would almost wonder if she really was experiencing sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
I wonder if the drumming could have been her hearing her heartbeat. Like, have you ever, like, held your breath or something and you can almost feel and hear your heartbeat in mm-hmm. your ears?
Yeah.
Could have been something like that, but the shower, that wouldn't have happened during the shower. Plus, if that was me and I had a terrifying experience and the person on the land confirmed it before I even said it, that's some validity right there.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what I was saying. It's credible. It's like, way more credible that way.
Like,
that others here have seen this because we developed it on land. We probably shouldn't have. Shout out, Poltergeist.
Exactly. It's like, it's an ancient, we've heard it.
Yeah.
We've heard it.
Now, we're Americans. We've heard it.
Now let's move on to this episode's main listener submission. So today's listener submission comes to us from Sarah. What's up, Sarah? You're still listening.
Hello, Sarah.
I just talked to you today, so I know you're listening.
Oh, cool. Do they know they're doing this episode today?
Yes.
Cool. Are they excited for it?
She didn't say.
Okay.
She said, is Charlie going to be on that one, too? No, just kidding.
Wow.
Does he have to be?
Jeez. I feel a little attacked by Sarah.
No, she didn't say it. She might have been thinking it, but I can't prove it. No, she was like, I'm only going to listen if Charlie's on it. And thanks for doing the research, Tyler. I want Charlie to present the episode.
So no matter what.
You have to read my notes.
No, I want to read all those notes.
Can you read Arial font? It's ghost story. We're going into shadow person territory, which is just different. Shadow, like, I don't know what to think about shadow figures in general. We've talked about them before.
My thinking has changed very much on shadow people.
Did you used to think they're always bad?
No, I thought they were not bad at all.
Really?
I used to think they were fine.
They're just fine.
Yeah, within the last couple of years, I wouldn't say I've been proven wrong. That's not right. I think my thinking has changed that their presences are not good.
Yeah. Well, let's pick back up on that thought after listening to this story.
Okay.
So, Sarah grew up in a family home that was very open and very friendly towards spirits.
Oh, I don't like that.
There is nothing taboo or out of the ordinary with ghosts in this household. In fact, she said her grandmother actually had a ghost that would follow her around all throughout her life. They became so close that she would actually name it George. Like, that's George. Like, it was George the ghost.
Like a pet ghost?
Yes.
All right. I don't know if I'd like that as a ghost. Would you like that as a ghost? Like, if you were a ghost, you follow this family around, and they start naming you something that is not your name?
So, this is later in my notes, but since you're bringing it up, I'll say it here. I did kind of liken it to a pet, because she didn't communicate with George. Like, she didn't have any conversations with George. She just knew when George was around, and there were certain instances of things that would happen that she would attribute to George. But it wasn't like she'd lay in bed and hear a voice and respond and hear a voice and respond. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no communication. So in that way, like, when you think about a pet, like a dog, like, you can, some people talk to their animals. I definitely do. And you can communicate through, like, body language. And you know, if you yell at your dog based on your tone, mm-hmm. it'll know what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't communicate with a pet the same way you can with another person.
Correct.
So in that way, it kind of is like a pet. But I
wouldn't want to call the pet, though. It's not the same thing. It just, I would, if I was the dead ghost, the ghost.
The dead, not with, the live. We're all living ghosts,
right?
Technically.
But if I was with a family for some reason or another, and they started treating you like a pet, I might get angry.
Might bite. Might run away.
I might break stuff.
You have to go to the ghost pound, then.
The ghost catcher comes. What do you euthanize a ghost?
If nobody wants it. If you can't find somewhere to haunt where it puts you down.
Oh, man.
That's and then sad. You got to go to Detroit.
No!
Here's a theory, though. Not a theory. Actually, it's not a theory. Not a theory. It's an idea. It's all a right. thought. Thought
From
bubble.
You?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have this pet ghost, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't communicate with it, or you don't. Either one. Either you can't, or you don't, or they don't want to communicate with you. But you have this presence. Imagine for like 70 years, there's this ghost following you around that you're developing almost like that pet relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
But then you die. Does that okay. completely change
oh,
their
yeah,
relationship?
The dynamic's gotta
Do you
change.
Never see them again? Or do you now possess the ability to, since you're on the same plane, to talk to and create a relationship with this ghost that has been around you? It almost would make a very interesting love story.
Yeah, it would.
Like mm-hmm. warm bodies
kind
with a zombie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not quite like that. But like, imagine, you know, there is this person that has this ghost around their whole life and they can't really talk to him, but they, you know, they help each other out.
Yeah.
And they get really close and they just wait. And then, but then it'd be like, I could picture the person wanting to kill themselves and they stop them and like, no, that's not the way for it to be. But then they die and then they walk off into the ghostly sunset.
I can just see the tagline. Like, I've waited for you your whole life.
Yes. Let's direct it. It'd have to be mumblecore though, because we have no budget for any effects.
And that's the best core.
Everything takes place on a park bench. It's essentially a play. But that was just something I was thinking about. I don't have any strong beliefs on the afterlife, so I can't strongly feel like I know what would happen in that scenario.
Mm-hmm, right.
Just interesting. But when Sarah would visit her grandparents, they would always tell her about George, and Sarah loved it. She ate all of it up. She thought it was so funny. She thought it was so unique. And remember, they're all very open about ghosts anyways. Mm-hmm. And her grandmother would call these like the George stories. So here's one story that I got from Sarah, and this is in her own words. Quote, one of my favorite experiences growing up involved my youngest uncle, Bobby. He's a few years older than me, and he had a love for old school gangster rap music. He had those big, stupid speakers, subwoofers, tweeters, and whatever else you needed to rattle the nuts and bolts out of a car. He had this type of system not only in his car, but he also set up his bedroom. I remember sitting in the kitchen trying to visit with Grandma, and Uncle Bobby would be blasting his music upstairs, damn near rattling the plaster off the walls. Grandma would get sick of it and yell over the music, Bob, if you don't turn that down, I'll tell George to handle it for me.
Oof.
Bobby was usually pretty good about turning it down after this warning, but every once in a while, he either didn't hear Grandma, or he was just being a jerk. So Grandma would say, George, could you take care of that for me? Sure enough, the music would shut. Clean off.
What?
Bobby would come downstairs furious because of whatever George did, and it would literally kill the stereo for the rest of the day.
Wow.
By morning, the stereo would work again. It always made me laugh when this happened.
That's crazy.
He also liked to run. You could hear him run from one end of the house to the other, up the stairs, down the stairs, day or night. He was always super active, and we all acknowledged him. He followed her to every house she ever lived in, including the last few years at the nursing home. He was active until the day Grandma passed away. Everything stopped then.
Wow.
Unquote.
Wow. That's insane. They must have some kind of connection.
Absolutely.
Just unspoken, like some soul kind of connection.
I wonder, yeah, like where George came from, why attached to the grandmother, you know, maybe it was like,
I don't want to tell you too much, but I'm going to say it.
No, it's almost like when, you know, maybe in her previous life, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it was like a lover from a previous life.
Something like that, maybe, yeah. So I was actually listening to Rhett and Link.
Ah!
And I was listening to the Ear Biscuits.
Yes.
I was listening to, I think it was Rhett, recite OPP. In poetic form.
Oh, okay.
Are you down? OPP, yeah, you know
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And made me think of that because you said gangster rap.
Are you getting on the Rhett and Link bandwagon a little bit?
Trying to.
Ah, they're so good, dude. They're so good.
I enjoyed the podcast when I heard of it.
I love Rhett and Link. So I have to ask you. I don't have to ask you yet.
Okay.
In addition to George and her grandmother's stories, apparently her grandpa would tell Sarah about a little boy ghost that he grew up playing with. So my question to you is, do you feel the same about little boy ghosts as you do little girl ghosts? Because we all know how you feel about little girl ghosts.
No, I don't, actually. I think little girl ghosts are the epitome of
demonic activity.
I'm sweet, innocent, please take care of me, and probably more likely to be a demon. Where I think little boy ghosts are probably more mischievous. Although you could argue, little boy, take care of me, also a demon. But I think it's a little less, like, it's like barely less, but a little bit less likely.
I saw this little kid today at the park that might have been a demon because he was young and he was a boy. But it was the cutest little thing. He must have just started walking because he did that thing where they stick their tummies out. Yeah. He was sticking his tummy out as he was walking, but him and his dad were picking up sticks in the park.
Yeah.
Like, and they must have been from like a storm where the branches fell. And this little kid picked up this branch that was way too big for him, but he was still carrying it. But so imagine like a little kid, like a foot high, maybe a foot and a half.
Yeah.
Maybe two. I don't know. But he's carrying this huge tree branch and he's just waddling with his stomach like sticking out. It was so cute.
And he whacks his dad in the back of the leg.
Hey, that's demonic right there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's George, there's this little boy ghost, all is good. But there was one sinister thing that's going to be lurking in this house, specifically in the basement.
With George, or like it's George other, in Grant, other in their, half?
In their house.
I wonder. Okay.
No one ever saw exactly what it was, but she would say when people were walking up the basement steps, they would often get tripped, like grabbed and tripped.
Could Grandma see George?
I got the impression that she could, but maybe not. It might have just been more of a presence.
Okay. Because I was wondering if anyone... you said no one's ever saw that thing in the basement. So I wondered if Grandma saw George.
I don't know. It's tough. She didn't explicitly say.
Okay.
I think it was more of a presence thing.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe... I don't know.
Well, the fact that she had to explicitly say no one saw the thing in the basement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so...
Well, but it leads into my next point.
Okay.
Most of her personal experiences revolve around shadow figures, and this is what she did see. I don't think she saw George. She didn't see the little boy. She didn't see the thing in the basement. What Sarah did see were these shadow figures.
Okay.
And a majority of the time, it was just almost like background noise. Like, they would just be in the background. They'd pop up. She'd see them from a distance. They would, you know, peek around a corner. They'd peek around a door. But always from a distance, right? And Sarah, you know, eventually got used to this, so to speak, as much as somebody can probably get used to shadow figures, which we've talked to a couple of people through, like, listener submission interviews on our Patreon. Shout out Georgie. But she also said, as much as she could get used to them, they absolutely startled her. Like, the first time, like, as soon as you see it, like, when she sees it, and this is what I'm imagining, she sees it, and once she becomes cognizant, like, this is a shadow figure. It's a distance away. It's not going to hurt me. It's like, okay, calm down. But immediately, like, she's a jumpy person. Yeah. So, like, she said, like, she could, you know, feel her heart jump out of her chest. Mm-hmm. Like, that's startled. But I think that would be everybody.
Yeah.
And this part I didn't like. This was actually something through an email that she reaffirmed. She said what really made her startled and freak out was especially the fast-moving shadow figures. Ooh, that I don't like.
No.
Actually, it's funny because I was thinking about it. I don't know what I would have thought of if you weren't replaying it or playing it for the first time. But when, like, you get a boss in Alan Wake and they're the shadow and they're flying around. Oh,
that
Rusty.
Graveyard? That graveyard guy?
Who's the graveyard guy?
He's like, I just stumbled into a graveyard and this gravedigger was super fast.
Was it the tall guy?
He wasn't really tall, no.
Okay.
He was just really fast.
I was talking about Rusty.
Yeah, yeah.
He's right. And the poor dog.
I know.
That's sad. Was terrible. Couldn't save the dog.
I tried to.
You did. But the fact that she pointed out that there were really fast moving shadow figures is just creepy. But she didn't get any negative vibes, and she didn't feel like it was a sinister presence.
That's interesting, though. Nothing. The shadow figures.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I had the opposite of you. I had the preconceived notion that every shadow figure was bad. Because the first time I ever even heard of a shadow figure, I was at a friend's house. And it was like, we were just playing games, right? Chill. Playing games. And somehow it got brought up that their old house was haunted. I said, what? And they were like, yeah, there's this, you know, a bunch of ghosts in there. But one particular one was just a shadow. It wasn't a ghost. And they would throw vases and stuff at us.
What?
And I was just like, yo. Like,
in Ashtabula?
We were playing. Like, what? We don't have ghosts in Ashtabula?
I don't know.
We got the railroad disaster.
No, you're right. I don't know.
Actually, one of the people, I don't want to say too much, not that I think that they're listening, but one of the people in that family actually got stabbed in the stomach.
Oh my God.
Needed stitches. And they kept saying by their bed, they saw like an old war soldier, old, like American Revolution.
Oh,
or one of those, okay. Like one of those wars before, like it's history.
One of those old wars.
It's history. I can't do this. I'm sorry.
Civil War.
I can't pretend to sound knowledgeable. Okay. But, and this might be exaggeration. I heard this when I was younger, but they claimed that they got the wound looked at and it was made by like a really old style bayonet.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. If that's true. Terrifying. If it's not true, that's kids be kids.
Well, Jesus Christ.
He was a little boy at the time, so he might have been a demon.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid.
Maybe he's possessed and stabbed his dad with a bayonet that the devil gave him.
Yeah.
Battle of 1812.
Sure. But yeah, again, my preconceived notion based on that conversation was that all shadow figures were bad. So this podcast has actually pulled me back. Like, I feel like you got pushed more into most of them being bad, mm-hmm. where I've been pulled back from like, okay, maybe they're not all terrible. Just most of them.
Yeah, I think, I don't know.
They feel like lurkers, like scavengers. I don't know.
Yeah, like vultures.
Like, almost. They don't seem, it doesn't feel like a ghost that's reliving its last day mm-hmm. or a ghost unaware of its surroundings. It feels like something that knows you're in the room.
Yeah.
And it knows, it's an aware. It feels like a very aware entity.
Maybe like a deteriorating ghost. We talked about that idea before, that ghosts get so old, they start to deteriorate.
See, I think it's more of something aware and not, like, when I think of deteriorating, I think of, like, Resurrection Mary.
Oh, yeah.
Which is more like a ghost losing its mind. Mm-hmm. I think they're strikingly aware.
Oh, I don't like that.
You know, it's creepy. It goes back to what we talk about now, I feel like, every week, intention. But anyway, at a young age, she would tell her mom, because everybody's got to have their ghost stories in this family, she would tell her, it's so hot up here, I can't talk. She would tell her mom about these shadow figures that she was seeing. And her mom, I think it's because she was so young. Because obviously George is around and everybody's fine with George. But maybe it's because Sarah is young and vulnerable. But her mom was like, yeah, just don't talk to them. Don't really acknowledge them. It gives them strength. So just kind of like, you can look at them. You can see them. Don't be afraid. But just don't talk to them.
Maybe that's just the best advice that she had.
I think that's actually good advice for the most part.
I think so too.
So she didn't. She obeyed her mom, and she did her best to pay the shadow figures no mind. And after doing so, the amount of shadow figures and then shadow people that Sarah saw started dwindling. But it didn't decrease the amount of entities that she saw. Instead, it was almost like shadow figures were being swapped out for other spirits. Oh. So she started seeing like a new variety. She said she would see former pets. She saw a preacher. And she even saw a Native American chief.
Oh.
But just like with George, there was no communication. And just like the shadow figures, it was just, they would simply appear. They would stare at her from around a corner or in her hallway. And then they would disappear. And this was something she thought, which I wouldn't have thought of because obviously it's not my personal experiences. I think this is more of a feeling. But it actually creeped me out. She said the way that these new entities were behaving to her felt so oddly similar to the shadow figures that she had a theory that they were literally the same entities. Like, the new spirits were the shadow figures trying to trick her. And maybe because she was avoiding them or she was trying to ignore them, they were trying to appear in different shapes with different faces. Maybe just to watch her reaction or to try to connect with her in a different way.
That's creepy.
I think that's very creepy, very manipulative. Now, that doesn't mean it's true, and she would tell you that, but that was a theory she had, which I would have never thought of, because I don't think it's based on looks. She said it was the way they behaved. I think it's how she felt around them.
Something, she had the same kind of menacing.
Yeah. Well, she didn't say they were menacing.
Okay.
It was, I don't know. She didn't really, maybe it was exactly their behavior. That's what she said. But for me, I feel like, things being in the distance.
Manipulative, though. That's a good word for that. That's really what it is.
It's creepy. So Sarah moved a lot as a child, and she noted that she still moves quite frequently. And when she would move, the spirits would always follow her. Stay at a distance, just observing her, but they would follow her. And the more she moved and the busier she would get, the more the spirits seemed to take a backseat to things that were happening in her day-to-day life. They would still appear around a corner, you know, here and there, kind of to remind her, like, we're still here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my interpretation based on her submission. I think it was like her teenage years. She had school going on. Yeah. You know, there's boys, there's classes.
Track and field.
Track and field. You can't, like, if it was just track or if it was just field, you probably have ghost time.
Maybe softball, some kind of after school activity.
This is probably before Danny Phantom, so she didn't have that relationship. She's 37, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You sound surprised.
I was not expecting someone older than me. Doesn't matter.
Are you okay with that?
No.
Stop the episode.
I'm done. Interesting.
But she did notice as she started dating more and there was more drama in her life, they would appear.
Really?
I don't know if they were like interested or like drawn into the drama. I don't. They got the popcorn. It's Michael Jackson.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. But eventually she started dating less and she stopped moving as much. And the shadow people again took a back seat. She noted that when something would appear, now instead of multiple characters, multiple entities, you know, like the chief, the dog, the shadow figures, it was almost like everything was just down to this one guy. Like everything else kind of dissipated, and now there's just this one singular shadow figure that stuck around. And around this time, she bought a new semi-permanent house, which was in Forreston, Illinois. She got into a serious relationship with a man who had three kids, and it was going along swimmingly, and she thought this was going to be the guy that she was going to marry.
Okay.
And at this point, the shadow figure's behavior started shifting.
Oh, gosh.
Could be because of the relationship.
Yeah.
But Sarah believed at the time that the biggest catalyst for this change might have been his three children.
So it did like or didn't like the kids?
About to find out.
Okay.
After this commercial break. Listen, guys, I know it's been a minute since I've talked about trying to get to 8% body fat, but that deadline is coming up.
I've been hitting the gym too and trying to get in better shape as well.
And that is why we've both been trying AG1 Athletic Greens.
I started taking AG1 because with my other, quote, protein powders, I wasn't seeing results.
Exactly. But with a single scoop of AG1, you're getting 75 high-quality minerals, vitamins, whole food source superfoods, and probiotics.
Well, that's fine, but let's talk about the real selling point. It actually tastes good and isn't all grating like some of the other protein powders.
My suggestion, just add it to your routine, right? Like you wake up, start listening to that new Believing the Bizarre episode while you're making your AG1, and before we even start diving into the topic, you've consumed a shake that has less than 1 gram of sugar, supports mental clarity and alertness without any nasty chemicals.
So essentially, it's like a life hack. And don't just take our word for it. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. And on top of all that, for every purchase, Athletic Greens donates to organizations that help get nutritious food to kids in need, like No Kid Hungry.
Skip the supplements and the dozens of various pills. You can reclaim your health and arm your immune system with daily nutrition. All it takes is just one scoop of AG1 and a cup of water every day. That's it.
Still on the fence? To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase.
That's right. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/emerging.
Again, that is athleticgreens.com/emerging to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Hey there, campers. My name's Kimmy.
And my name's Ryan.
We've noticed you stumbled upon our mystical campfire, so that means there's a solid chance you have some questions, like...
Why am I here? What's going on? And why are there cryptid and folklore creatures everywhere? And should I be worried about the Mothman dressed as a camp counselor swooping down to steal my s'mores?
Well, you've stumbled upon the Alluring Campgrounds. Alluring is a folklore podcast where every episode we dive into the history and lore of different creatures and cryptids you see wandering around these campgrounds.
And during each episode, we discuss the sightings, encounters, poems, history, fun, facts, and pop culture focused on our campfire topic that week. We hope through shared experience we can learn and make light about all the unknown corners of the universe.
So come take a seat around the campfire, make yourself at home, and listen to Alluring Today anywhere podcasts are heard. Or watch videos on YouTube, or even go to our website, alluring.com. That's alluring.com.
So first, the shadow figure became more prominent. She started seeing it significantly more. And this was the first unusual thing. It would lurk into her room, which at this point had never, ever happened. These things always stayed in the distance, peering around a corner, chilling in the hallway, behind a door, never entered her space, never entered her room, always from a distance. But now, this particular shadow person was entering her space, all the way up to her bed. This figure would only seem to walk up to Sarah's boyfriend's side, and sometimes, late at night, it would look like this shadow figure was reaching into her boyfriend's chest, into his head, and into his stomach. Looking back, she said this was a red flag that she wishes she would have taken a little bit more seriously. But instead of following her mom's previous advice, out of concern for her boyfriend and her boyfriend's children, she started talking to the shadow figure. Bad juju. So what would you do in this instance? Just out of curiosity. So you got this new girlfriend. She's got three kids. You're hanging out. You're in the same bed. And you look up and the shadow figure that used to just chill in the distance is now showing up by your bed, reaching inside their chest.
Oh, man. I think I would, A, tell it to leave, and B, salt the borders of the house and, like, sage and stuff.
Are you seasoning your house?
Salt keeps ghosts away.
Yeah. It's like the cursed game, right? And witches. The cursed game you talked about where you had salt. You had
Oh. Yeah. What is that called? It's
the salty game.
Oh, yeah, I remember what you're talking about. Yeah, kind of like that.
Salty game number... cursed game number three.
Yeah.
The one not in the bathtub.
Oh, damn, what's that one called? Is it the midnight game?
Or is that the one where you had to shut all the things?
That was the farm one.
You're right. Yeah, that was the midnight thing. Yeah, midnight game.
Yeah.
The midnight man.
Yes. Terrible.
Spooky. So, she spoke to the entity. She told the shadow figure to leave her boyfriend alone, to go away, to mind his own business, mind his P's and Q's.
She's like, get out of here! Get out of here!
That's how she sounds.
Yeah.
Almost immediately, her boyfriend started developing sleep apnea, which is a sleep disorder that can be pretty scary because for short periods of time, you stop breathing. It's not a paranormal... Like, it's not... Obviously, there's context to this story, but in outside of this story, there are people that just, you know...
Yeah.
It's a disorder. But it was pretty bad, and it got to the point where Sarah would have to actually shake him awake sometimes to get him to start breathing again. Don't know if that's recommended, but one night, Sarah woke up startled to find her boyfriend violently struggling to breathe. Naturally, she started freaking out, but she noticed something different this time. The shadow man was standing there. Not only was he standing by her boyfriend's bedside, but again, he had his hand inside her boyfriend's chest. So she screamed at the shadow figure to leave him alone. Instantaneously, the shadow man stood up, pulled his hand from her boyfriend's chest, and started walking around the bed. At the foot of the bed, the shadow figure stopped for just a moment and then slapped the bottom of Sarah's foot with so much power and so much force that it knocked her entire leg off the bed. The initial sting of the slap was excruciating, but then the shadow figure faded away.
This thing's too strong, man.
It's lifting, and it's...
It's not... It couldn't be George, could it?
No. I don't think so.
All right.
Well, she, from her perspective, George kind of left when her grandmother passed away.
Yeah. Why couldn't this thing be George?
That's a good question. I think that's something to discuss in the discussion.
Okay.
But it's a connection, right? Like,
yeah.
Just because Sarah doesn't think it might be or hasn't thought of that doesn't mean it's not true. Maybe she's like, go hang out with my granddaughter.
Yeah, maybe.
So from that moment on, Sarah and her boyfriend's relationship started to sour.
Oof.
His kids seemed to start acting differently, wild, destroying Sarah's home, hurting her pets, and even hurting Sarah's own son. The house started smelling really, really bad too, which made no sense to Sarah because she was meticulous about her cleaning and she always kept her windows open. All the while, her boyfriend's health and his mental state started deteriorating because he was spending more and more of his time at the bar and drinking while letting Sarah deal with the consequences of everything else. Eventually, enough was enough and Sarah had a split with her boyfriend. She was incredibly sad, as she spent years with him already, years with his kids, and she legitimately thought that this guy was the one, this was going to be the guy that she was going to marry. But it just became a very unhealthy relationship, and she decided it had reached a breaking point. The very next day, it was almost like her world was flipped upside down. She said she had the best, the most restful sleep she's had in years, and when she woke up, her house smelled good again, and it looked brighter. And there was no way for her to properly explain that other than it just looked and felt brighter in her home. Just completely different now than how it had been before. She said, her words, it was almost like living in a dark, damp gym sneaker. So she wakes up, everything feels different, she feels better, she feels rested. She sits down on her couch in her sunny living room, having a little bit of coffee, and she notices a reflection on the opposite side of the wall, through the light coming through the door. And she heard someone walking up her sidewalk. And through that light that was kind of peering in through her window, she sees the silhouette of a man. And she got up to go see who it was through the door, and there wasn't anyone there. She thought, a little odd, a little strange, but then she went back to drinking her coffee on the couch. When she looked up again, there was still no one there, still no one outside, but through the reflection, she could see a silhouette of a man reflected on the wall. So she just sat and watched the shadow for a few moments, but eventually it turned and walked away from the house. For a complete year, she was completely free of this shadow man. The next time she saw him was the very first night that Sarah brought another man back to her house. Spoiler alert, this is the man that she married. His name's Alan. She's still married to him. Sup, Alan? That night that the shadow man appeared, it was again at the door. Mm-hmm. Space. He was out in the hallway at a distance, just like the old days. Didn't enter her room. Didn't get up in her grill. Didn't get in her space. Just kept it from a distance. Didn't feel negative. This is a twist that, I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting in the story. It was almost peaceful. She even said her dog seemed to greet the presence of this shadow figure like it was an old friend. The next morning at breakfast, Alan asked Sarah if her house was haunted. He said this because he could have sworn that there was a man standing in the hallway the previous night. And he actually thought for a moment that somebody might have broken into her house. But then he noticed that the dogs were chill. Dogs didn't care. The way that the dog reacted seeing this figure in the hallway. And he was in a sleepy state too. You might think that's a weird thought, but you know, whatever time he woke up in the middle of the night, he's not having probably the most rational thoughts.
Right.
So in his mind, he sees this, he makes a connection. He's like, you know what? Okay. So he relaxed a little bit and he fell back asleep. But Sarah was absolutely shocked, didn't know how to respond, because this was the first time that one of her boyfriends ever claimed to also see the shadow figure. So I'm going to end with this quote word for word from her. And it's like a fast forward to a few months ago, which could have been like a year and a half ago with the way we're yeah. we're doing these listener submissions. I would say it's probably last fall or summer.
Okay.
Quote, fast forward to a few months ago, a new shop opened up in the town near us, and they had a tarot card reader come in to give readings to customers. So I made a trip over there to get a reading done. I walked up to the man doing the readings, shook his hand, and I sat down. The tarot reader sat down and proceeded to shiver and say, ma'am, why do you have a shadow man attached to you? He just sat down in the chair behind you. Him saying that actually made me smile. And all I could think to say was, I think he's taken a shining to me. He's been around for many years. Unquote. And that is Sarah's story. Let's discuss. All right. This is the time of the episode that we stop. Did you put a rant in there last time, or did I imagine that? I think you should continue doing that. I like that. Okay. I like it. I say keep it. All obviously, right. It's up to you.
I'll keep it.
But I do want to say that I'm very excited to introduce the newest patrons who are supporting the podcast, who are Kaylee, Alex, Brandon, Alexander, Bailey, Kiera, Orca the Whale, Peyton, and Zianna. Thank you all so much for joining our Patreon, supporting the podcast. I hope you enjoy bonus content. We got quizzes. We have listener submission interviews. We got Patreon exclusive merch that you don't have to pay for, that you literally get by just existing in the dedicated tier. Google Hangouts. What other great fun stuff do we do, Charlie?
We have amazing once a month giveaways that Patreon doesn't want you to know about, but we're having them.
That's true. Patreon's like, is you talking about giveaways?
Don't talk about them, but we're going to talk about them here. We're having giveaways on our private Discord. Not our public Discord. We have both. We have a private and a public.
Listen, that's more Discords than I was expecting us to have.
Me too. But we have them. And if you're a part of the $10 tier, you can join our private Discord. Not only that, if you're on the $10 tier, you can meet with me and Tyler once a month and have a little chat. Sit down, chat with me and some other people, and Tyler's there too. And
I am.
Yeah. And we also watch movies.
Netflix Party Watch. We put up a poll of 3 scary movies on Netflix. Y'all vote, and then we watch together in the chat. It's a good time. And, also, I just want to say this because we're getting close. At the recording of this year podcast, we are at 162 patrons, which means we are 38 away from Charlie getting that tattoo.
Sweet.
That's not even awesome. What I'm talking about. We are 13 away from the theatrical reading coming back.
That's so close.
So one, we already have one ready to go. So we're very excited about that. But two, again, if you are a writer and you like writing short stories in the paranormal, horror, sci-fi genre, fiction, of course, hit us up. We would love to turn your fiction short story into a theatrical reading. We do pay. So hit us up if you're a writer or if you're a voice actor. You know, throw that out there. If you think your voice has what it takes, hit us up. But anyway, that is our Patreon. Those are our new patrons. Thank you so much for the support. Let's get to the discussion. So, Charlie, this had a twist, which I was not expecting, because when I named it The Suffocating, which I still like the name, The Suffocating Shadow Man.
Yeah.
So I'll be honest. It was a story about shadow figures. And I was like, we already did the Houston one. Is this going to be the Texas one? The Aurora. No, that was the other story. No, this isn't even Texas.
I don't even know where this one is. You didn't say where it is.
Yeah, I don't think she listed it. Oh, it was Illinois. It was in Illinois.
Okay.
The Illinois Shadow Man. That felt too general.
Generic.
So for me, it's suffocating because of the choking.
In the chest.
I was thinking it was going to be a bad entity. She looks at it like a protector.
Although I could... Okay, so...
Yeah, give me your thoughts.
I could see that at the end because it feels like it's like allowed this guy... Like somehow this thing knows... I'm not going to wonder how they're still together, but hopefully her and Alan were supposed to be together and that entity thinks that or knows that and that she thought that other guy was maybe an okay fit, but not what it was supposed to happen.
Yeah, it literally, if it was like punishing him for not treating Sarah right. And then when Sarah yelled at it, it was almost like the way you would scold. Now, it might not know its own force, the way it hit her foot.
Mm-hmm.
But it was almost like scolding your dog, right? The role of the pet has changed.
Yeah.
Sarah became the pet to the Shadow Man. But when she yelled at it and he just, tapped her on the foot.
Yeah.
But
Or even they were doing okay. Like they were like in love and stuff, but this thing decided it needed to take action to make this guy go.
Do you think that behavior of him going to bars all the time, getting drunk, would have happened eventually anyway, though? It was almost like the shadow figure rushed those events to show her immediately, like, this is what he is.
I think he could have. Yeah, that kind of behavior could have escalated, and those kids could have escalated. But maybe you're right. Maybe it hurried those events up.
Yeah, if you're taking it from the angle that is the protector, which isn't the only angle, but if that's the angle you're taking and that's the angle Sarah takes, then it seems like he sniffed him out.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's not good for you. He's taking advantage of you. He's in your house. He's letting your kids beat up your kid. He's out drinking while you're dealing with all these problems. Get him out of here, right?
Yeah.
And then Alan comes, and he's like, all right, cool. I'm back to the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
But here's one of my questions before – because I always write my questions down mid-reading. Like, I don't wait to finish and then write questions. One of my questions was going to be, are you sure this is the same shadow figure? Because story-wise, story element-wise – yes, I would say this is the same shadow figure. But at the same time, it almost feels like her boyfriend had an attachment. And the reason I say that is because of the odor, and the feelings and the darkness. Like she said, as soon as that guy left, it smelled better in the house. It looked brighter in her house. And it makes me think of when we were talking, like my Skinwalker experience talking with Ethan, how that area was darker than it ever had been and unusually dark. And it's like, to me, when that guy left, something went with it. And she kind of says she didn't see the Shadow Man for a year. Mm-hmm. But I don't think, but then when he came back, like, do you get what I'm saying? It seems almost like he had an attachment.
Yeah, like the guy had some kind of negative attachment. But what was she seeing before that, though? Like when she was looking by herself?
Well, in her mind, it was the same thing. It's just he took, this shadow figure took action.
Yeah.
So it's like shadow figure, guy comes, not good for her. He becomes more prevalent. Mm-hmm. Guy leaves, kind of disappears. New guy comes. It's all good. But
I see what you're saying. This guy that she had an attachment already on him.
Something. Yeah. I don't know because it seems like.
It's when, also more physical toward her, too.
Yeah. Like my initial reading was that this is something different. It's a different shadow figure. It's his shadow figure.
Mm.
Like, I thought this was the, like, there was a violent shadow figure attached to him. And when he left, it left with him. But she seems to think it's the same one. It's just, it was protecting her and it was tough love. Mm. But, which could be the case. It's just,
I could see them both, honestly.
But I feel like something left with him. Like, your house doesn't just, unless that was, like, the after image, like we were talking about in the first story with Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe all that negativity and the smell and the darkness was an after effect from what the shadow figure had to do. Mm. So it was that shadow figure that was creating that, but it wasn't towards Sarah. So when it left, the original shadow figure, all that negativity and the darkness left. And when it came back after a year, it purged all that negativity because mm-hmm. it didn't need it anymore.
It's interesting.
It's possible, but I don't know. When I was reading it, I'm like, this seems like this dude has something attached to him. But even
this feels like, though, to me a little bit, almost feels like a guardian angel.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
But
Which I wonder.
If that's the case, I feel bad for the kids. I know that when she was talking about the kids were beating up her son, and that sucks, and that's not good. But if this guy has something negative attached to him, mm-hmm. I feel so bad for those three kids.
I do too.
But I just, that's the part that I'm hung up on the most, is if the negative and the darkness and all that stuff was something different mm-hmm. attached to him, or if that was just kind of like remnants of the original shadow figure, and when it left, it took it with it. It was like a dirty sponge,
yeah.
Right? Like as a mm-hmm. sponge that when you were, it got dirty. So when you tried cleaning with it, it still left smudges and you had to, you know, not throw it away. You put the sponge away for a year and you bring it back out and you wash it and it's clean again. I don't know. That was my biggest question was, could there have been something attached to
him? I think you're right. I think it could have been something attached to him too.
What other thoughts did you have? And it could be about the first story too. We didn't you had something that we were saving for the discussion.
Yeah. Maybe this thing that's protecting Sarah is George.
That's right. That's right. Like it is passed down. Could
be George.
Could be a generational ghost.
Yeah. We're protecting this family for some reason.
I would love to get Sarah's thoughts on that. So Sarah, if you're listening, I would like to hear your thoughts on if you think there's any chance it could be George. The only thing I would say that maybe could kill that idea is if it just felt completely different. And I don't think they saw George. I'm not saying that doesn't mean that this couldn't be George.
Yeah.
But I think it was more of an unseen force.
George was?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe that changes. Maybe it manifests differently.
No idea.
I don't know.
No idea. It's definitely an interesting thought, though. So what do you, Charlie, Chalele, what do you give this experience?
Oh,
On the scale from believable to viable to skeptical to unbelievable, least believable. Most unbelievable.
My initial instinct is just to say believable. I don't know why I would question this story.
Yeah, I'm like, we're questioning aspects of the story, not the validity of the story.
Right. Yeah. Like, I'm not even questioning the fact that the whole family mm-hmm. is like 100%. They're ghosts.
Yeah. And then the tarot card reader, right? The end.
Yeah.
Just that perfect creepy. Wrap. Like, why? And it wasn't, do you know, right?
Yeah.
He didn't ask, do you know if you have a, he's like, why do you have a shadow figure attached to you? Like, she was gonna be like, oh, well, this one time at band camp, you know, like, it was just,
I owe money.
It's, yeah, can I borrow $50? it was an interesting question to ask. Why? Yeah. Like, he knew that she knew.
What do you give it?
Oh, I give it believable. Like, we were questioning aspects of it, not whether or not, like, we, like, the questions in the breakdown that we have wasn't like, this doesn't seem real.
This it's more
like,
fit.
Like, this already makes sense, but what if this?
Yeah.
It was like little minute details of it and like how they could be interrelated, not mm-hmm. whether or not we think it's real or not. So I give it believable as well. So that is our episode, The Suffocating Shadow, which I'll be honest, I came up with that before. It was more of a protector.
It's a good name. I like that name.
The Suffocating Guardian Angel. It's
intimidating. I like it.
The Scolding Shadow Man.
That's not as good.
The Disappointed Shadow Man. No, I'm not mad. But thank you, everybody. Well, first of all, thank you to Veronica and Sarah for submitting your stories. Thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome.
For always making me laugh every episode and giving me thoughts that I haven't thought and probably would never would have thought of, and for telling me stories that I never would have done, like Chupacabra.
Well, thank you, Veronica and Sarah, for giving us your stories.
Charlie.
Yeah.
What if I'm a listener of Believing the Bizarre and I want my story told on the podcast somewhere in the next 9 to 12 months?
I would say go on our website, believingthebizarre.com, and go to the Submit My Experience drop-down file. And then fill that out.
So if I fill it out, should I give like a few details or should I make it a very detailed story?
As few as possible.
Make us make everything up.
No, give as many details as possible. Give us the color of the shirt you were wearing.
One thing that is very much overlooked, which I enjoy, is how you felt in certain instances.
Give us your feelings.
If there's a story, it's like there's stories about this. Tell us a story. Or if something crazy happens, and if you remember how you felt in that moment, we want to humanize you in your story.
Give us your thoughts, your fears, your give us the passions.
Yes.
All that stuff. Absolutely.
When you were 14, what did you want to be when you grew up?
You asking me?
No. I want to know it.
Yeah.
Did you want to be a comedian?
I was 14. Actor? I don't know what I want to do, man.
Twitcher? That wasn't a thing.
No. I don't know. If you do want to see me Twitch, be a Twitcher, stream online. If you want to see me stream a game, I'm streaming at least every Wednesday. Alan Wake. Right now.
Who knows what the next game will be? We actually have talked about it.
Yeah. But that's something we're doing on Twitch, and that's a lot of fun. And if you'd like to join us for those, that would be great. But if you can't catch them live, they're going to be on YouTube.
We do have some Twitch ideas coming up soon that we're excited about. We're just going to tease. New merch items coming out. Tease. Maybe some new Twitch segments coming out. Live stream. Tease. Just keep you turning to the next page. We're excited, though. We're always planning ahead. We're always thinking of fun new avenues.
Got to keep planning ahead.
Got to.
It's like chess.
It's the only thing keeping us alive. But there is a bunch of really cool stuff that we're talking about and we're excited about. But above all, we appreciate everybody listening, all the messages, all the DMs, all the listener submissions. We appreciate all of it. And as always, I'm Tyler.
I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
Podcast as bizarre as you are.